Today we are going to talk about how to practice sitting meditation according to Satipatthana Vipassana, okay, mindfulness and sight meditation technique, which is we follow the tradition of the Mahasi. It's a monk from Burma. He popularized this technique to the world. Mahasi tradition. Okay, first of all, as usual, you sit cross-legged. When you sit cross-legged, okay, if you can sit lotus position, that's fine. If you can sit half lotus, that is also fine. If you can just fold your legs one on top of the other without any of lotus position, that's also fine. And also, if you want to put one leg in front of the other without putting pressure on each other, that is also fine. So you choose the position that is suitable for you. The key thing is choose the position that you can sit for a longer period of time. That's how you keep your legs. And then the back. Keep your back straight, neck straight, and close your eyes. And keep your chest slightly open. The reason to keep the chest slightly open is so that you won't become hunched down. So it's more like a guard. Back straight, neck straight, eye closed, shoulder open. And the hands, you may put right hand on top of the left, just like this on your lap area, or you may put it like this on your knee. But some people like to put the palms downward. If you put the palms downward, don't hold it. If you hold it like this, after 5-10 minutes, enormous heat will generate in that area. So what you do was simply put it this way. The palms are free. Again, too, you choose whichever one you like. This way, or this way. But always choose one position and stick with it. Experiment it, which is the best for you. Okay, now you know the sitting posture. Leg cross, back straight, neck straight, shoulders slightly open, eyes closed. And assume your hand position. Now, simply breathe regularly, normally. Just let it flow. Because breath is always there. The next step is, most of us or most of you are familiar with breath meditation. In breath, out breath, the focal point is at the nose. That is most common method of meditation or the focal point of meditation. But in here, it is different. Your focal point is at your abdomen, okay? At your abdomen, not at the nose. But regardless, it is caused by the air that goes in and out of the body. Whether you focus at the nose, there's air in and air out. Whether you focus at your abdomen, That movement of the abdomen is caused by the air that filled it and the air that expelled out. So the abdomen will expand when the air is filled in, and the abdomen will contract when the air flows out. So your focus is on the movement of the abdomen. That is the focal point. Now let me explain to you about the abdomen, because everybody felt differently. Some people will feel the most pronounced distinct movement right under the rib cage. The rib cage expand, the rib cage contract, expand, contract. Some people might feel it more distinctly on the upper part of your tummy. And if that is where you can notice most pronounced, that's where your focus is. And some people might feel it at the lower part of your stomach. And if that is the most distinct part, your focal point is there. So even though we say it's abdomen, in that whole tummy belly area, right from the ribcage right to the lower part of the stomach, or the sides of the stomach, wherever you notice the most pronounced movement, that's where your attention is, where your focus is. Now you know the area to observe. And always, if that is the most pronounced part, always direct your attention to that area and feel the sensation of the movement, expanding movement and contracting movement. So just feel it. The movement should be just regular and natural, which is directly controlled by the speed of the breath you are taking. It could be fast, it could be slow. It could change with time. Your attention is there. Expanding movement, contracting movement. That is one thing that you are doing. But there's another one that you need to add on, and you will figure out later why. When the abdomen is expanding, okay, you mentally label it rising, rising, rising. The precise and correct word is expanding. But for some reason, an English translated book, they use the word rising. Probably they sense that that is more appropriate in overall scheme of things. So rising, rising, rising. And then when it contracts, mentally label it concurrently with the movement. Falling, falling, falling. Rising, rising, rising. Falling, falling, falling. And that's what you are observing. Rising movement and falling movement. And labeling at the same time. As you have two things you are doing, you should have a clarity how to handle these two. Your attention should be more than 95% on the movement and the sensation. And less than 5% on the word or label rising and falling. Don't focus heavily on the word. If you happen to focus on the word, and which happens quite often, you are practicing a mantra meditation. Just sound, a word, you're focusing on the word. A word is a concept. Okay. Concept is not the object of vipassana or insight meditation. Concept is the object of samatha or concentration meditation or fixed meditation. Vipassana meditation is all about the true nature of the mind and the true nature of the matter as it really is, whatever is happening as it really is, without concept. In other words, it's the ultimate reality that is the true object of vipassana meditation. But at the beginning, we focus on the movement. Most of our attention are on the movement. And less than 5% on the labeling. Why do we need to? And some people who have some practice in any sort of meditation might even felt that they are more like an obstacle, awkward, blocking. But regardless, in this technique, please start with that. First of all, let's view this in one way. Let's say you are looking at a painting on a canvas, just a canvas. You saw that painting, you can see it's beautiful, you know it. And just simply on a canvas. And then you take that canvas, go put a frame around it and look at it again. The picture, the same picture, the same painting, it even stood out, even more beautiful. The frame accentuate the beauty of the painting. So if you can see that, the same thing, there's a movement that's like a canvas. And then rising is a frame around it. That rising, make you even see and feel more distinctly about the rising movement because it acts like a frame. So that's one of the reasons we use labeling in it. Another reason. Our whole life, we live in a conceptual world. Everything is about concept, words, nomenclature. Everything is described, communicate with words, concept. And we are used to concept. We are communicating, living, breathing, eating with conceptual idea. Suddenly, you cannot simply drop off the concept and then go straight into the ultimate reality. Because of that, you come into this ultimate reality as a pair, the concept and the true nature together. In that way, you are not feeling totally cut off and then like a fish on a land. together. The concept is very powerful. You live your whole life. That one little word explains to you everything, you know everything about it. So that word is very powerful for you. That power of the word is pushing you to see the reality. It accentuates the true nature. It frames the true nature. That's why we pair it. But 95 plus the true nature, less than 5 is the concept. Don't worry about it. If it is awkward, not flowy, do it. Slowly and slowly you will become used to it. And also there's another reason, the third one. In this mindfulness insight meditation, the purpose is not to get absorbed into the object. Getting absorbed into the object is concentration meditation. In here, you do not get absorbed into the object, but you investigate the object. You understand the object. You explore the object. If you got absorbed into it, you can't do any one of those things. You can't investigate, you can't explore. You don't know. For that, so that people with very strong meditation habit or practice, not to get absorbed into the object. This little label put as a buffer zone. So there's always a purpose behind it. Why we do what we do. If you understand that, it's very easy to execute. Otherwise, there's always a little bump in the flow. It's important to understand why we are doing what we are doing. Now you understand why we use labeling technique. And don't worry, everybody progresses at a different rate. When you progress fast enough and high enough, the teacher will tell you, you have come to a stage, you don't need labeling. At one point you will be asked to drop the labeling. At that time, there's no more words, no more concept, because you are skillful to be totally in the ultimate reality or true nature. So step by step, don't run before you know how to walk properly. I'm putting emphasis on these things because it's important to know how to practice correctly. If you do it correctly, you progress very fast. If not, it takes a lot longer time. Now, you know how to observe rising movement and falling movement. And if you can do that simply without your mind wandering away, thinking many thoughts, that's it, that's all you need. But if not, you have to increase more objects to observe. Okay. One thing is rising, rising, rising. And before falling, you observe the sitting posture. Label it sitting. Sitting doesn't mean you visualize how you are sitting. That's simply a form, concept. Sitting means the stiffness, tension, uprightness of the body. But you don't focus on the shape, size, color of the body. It is the sense in the body, the upright position, tension and stiffness, erectness. That sensation is the true nature of sitting. So, rising, or simply say rising, sitting, falling. Now you have three objects to observe. And still your mind wander away. If that's the case, there's one or two more objects you can insert. Rising, sitting, falling, and after falling, sensed in your lower extremities, in your legs, there's a pressure point. It could be on the hip bone, right hip bone or the left hip bone, or it could be on the ankle. It could be at your calf, depending on how you sit. Sense which has the most visible pressure point. 1 point or 2 points. Let's say right hip bone and your left ankle. And observe those points and label it. Touching. Without that touch, there's no pressure. Without that pressure, you will not be aware. So we label it touching. Now, rising, sitting, falling, touching. Rising, sitting, falling, touching. Then you'll be quite busy if you focus quite attentively, your mind will not be wandering. But you don't have to observe all these five. If two is perfect, stay with two. Three is perfect, stay with three. Four is perfect, stay with four. Five is perfect, stay with five. Do each your own. You will find your little sweet spot, niche point. Once you found out that, stick with it. That's on the sitting. Meditation on the movement of your abdomen. Everything you are observing is all about physical, rupa, physical activity, rupa, or you can call it form. Mindfulness of the body. And then you are doing this repeatedly again and again. And still, you will find out the mind slip away. Okay, slip away into something. The mind simply wander. You don't really know what you're thinking about, but you know that the mind slip away, wandering. As soon as you know that, label it wandering. Maybe you're remembering something from the past. Incident, situation, events. As soon as you become aware, labeled it, remembering. Or you might be planning, oh, on the way back, I need to pick up some grocery. As soon as you become aware, labeled it, planning. So all these thoughts are about the past or the future, or simply imagination and fantasy. Thoughts always come. Some people may drift away for 5 minutes and then become aware. Don't worry. Don't beat up yourself. As soon as you become aware, oh, thinking. What it means is, oh, there was a thought. There was a wandering thought. There was a remembering thought. There was a planning thought. Simply, it's a thought process going on. You confirmed it, that you truly know there was a thought, and then labeled it thinking, wandering, and so on. And with the skill developing farther and farther, you will catch these thoughts, or you will become aware of these thoughts faster and faster. 5 minutes drop down to in 1 minute, you know. Later, in 10 seconds, you know. And when your mindfulness is very strong, in a split second, not even 1 second, in a split second, you know. The thoughts come in, boom, you know, and it's gone. Okay. Now, it's very important what I'm going to say now. Your attitudes towards the thoughts. Thoughts are not your obstacle. Thoughts are not your enemy. Okay. Thoughts, you have to look at it, consider it as one of the meditation objects. Just like rising is a meditation object, falling movement is a meditation object, thought is a meditation object. But thought is elusive. So sometimes you don't know right away, but with time, you will be aware of them instantly. They arise and you know. And as soon as you know, they simply dissolve into oblivion. As soon as you know that you're thinking, that thought process stopped. Only if you're not truly aware that you're thinking, that thoughts go on into a storyline or into an emotion. Okay. Some thoughts, something happened during the day, quite nasty at your workplace. It really peed you off, you got angry. And suddenly you are sitting in the evening and then that thought arises again. That arises, the intensity of that incident is quite strong, that carry over in your meditation, and suddenly, even though you are meditating, you become angry because that thought took control of the present moment. At that moment, if you become aware, don't go and say, thinking. Okay. What you are truly knowing or experiencing is the anger. So you just simply note, anger. Okay. So you must know exactly what you know. Is that a thought? Thought is simply a thought process. Or is it anger? Anger is an emotion. One must know the emotion. Happy, sad, angry, lustful, whatever thoughts, the emotions, if you are experiencing emotion that you have already lost the period of the thought process, deal with the emotion. If you can sense the anger, sense the anger. Sometime you might sense what is manifesting in your body because of that anger, because of the thought there's the anger, because of that anger, that emotion, your muscle tighten, your jaws tight grinding, your hands are become like a fist and tightening up. If that's the case, observe those physical manifestations. Don't have to do anything. You simply observe. And right while you are observing, they simply become relaxed and dissolved and gone. At that moment, go and see your anger. There's no more anger. Go and see your thought. There's no more thought. When there is nothing, go back to the rising and falling movement. Let's call that it's a default program. If there is nothing distinctive, always go to the default program. But you don't have to stick and hold on and become attached to that rising and falling. It's simply while they are dominant and distinct, you observe. While other objects become dominant, you observe that object. When they disappear, you can always go back to the movement. So this one is mindfulness of the mind. You are aware of your consciousness. Thoughts, emotions are the manifestation, observable level of the consciousness. You can see the consciousness, you can feel the consciousness, but you can feel and see with your mind eye the thoughts and the emotions. Actually, that's the observable, identifiable part of your consciousness. In fact, that is consciousness. It's a flow of all these things, knowing, aware, emotions. Now you know mindfulness of the body, rising and falling and so on. Mindfulness of the mind or mindful of the consciousness. Thoughts and emotions. And then suddenly comes something. You are into the meditation half an hour, 45 minutes. There's a discomfort in your body arises. In other words, pain arises. And even that, everybody is different. Some people feel the pain within 5 minutes at sitting. Some people, they will feel only about 50 minutes into the sitting. Some people, they might sit for a whole hour, they won't even feel the pain. Everybody is different. Why? We'll talk about some other time when the proper topics arise. So let's say there's a pain. It could be a back pain, shoulder pain, neck pain, upper back, lower back, hip pain, knee pain, all the cults, numbness, tingling, piercing, excruciating pain, grabbing pain, all sort of pains, one form or the other. And when the pain arises, you observe the pain. Our habit is, as soon as the pain arises, we want to get rid of it. And we always do. Anything discomfort come and we try to demolish it. We don't think that way, but that's what we do. As soon as you have discomfort while you're sitting, even on a chair cross-legged, one leg on top of the other, when the lips become a little numb, automatically you change to another position. What's it? You just try to eliminate that pain. It is so ingrained as a habit, we are not even aware that we are always trying to eliminate discomfort and pain in our life. But now we are consciously aware because of the mindfulness. Pain arises, you observe the pain. The first instinct is you want to change position. You know because of that, that will be eliminated. But in here, one must be patient. Because this meditation is about being aware, explore, understand what is happening in your body and what is happening in your mind. Now there's a pain arising. There's something happening. If you make it disappear, how could you understand that pain? You can't. Every aspect of this mind and body must be explored and understood. So, you want to change? Know that you want to change. As soon as you become aware you want to change, you won't be changing, and you observe the pain. Observe the pain, if you could, locality, if you could, hip or bones or marrows or skins or flesh, where is it? You just such and such and such. You won't be able to locate it. Then explore the textures and patterns of the pain. And you will find it very interesting. Pain would be excruciatingly painful. You can't even bear it. But simply be patient and have tolerance towards it and observe without moving. Only then you will come to understand the true nature of pain. Basically, observe it without surrendering. Of course, some people have a very low tolerance to pain. For those people, they may have to move. If they have to move, know that you want to move consciously. And then move very slowly and know every little movements and change position. In 1 hour, maximum, you may change twice, but no more. If you have to change more than twice, simply, mindfully, get up and do walking meditation. Because if you keep changing, another habit will develop. And once that become a changing pattern, become a habit, you won't be able to stop. Because you don't, and you won't even know. So you have to stop that changing of the position to become a habit. That is the observation of feelings and sensation. In this case is dukkha vedana, unpleasant feeling. Unpleasant feeling and unpleasant sensation. So this one is called vedana nupassana, mindfulness of the feelings and sensation. Not emotional feeling. This is the actual feeling for the pain and sensation for the pain. So we now go three groups. Mindfulness of the body, mindfulness of the consciousness, mindfulness of the feeling, vedana. And there's one more. You're observing, and there you heard the sound. Sometime, the minds react differently for everybody. Somebody say, God, I'm really concentrated and this sound disturbed me. Damn it. Anger arises. Some people, oh, that's a very good sound for that engine, that motorcycle. Must be a this brand, that brand, Harley Davidson. Because you're interested in that and the mind goes in that direction. The first one is you go into the branch of aversion. Second one is you go into the branch of craving and desire. Basically, the rest are all labeled. It's only the two branches. Craving, greed, desire, or dissatisfaction, aversion, anger, hatred. one or the other, you flew into it, then you are in the zone of kilesa, mental defilement, which means you have lost your mindfulness. So how do we deal with it? As soon as you heard a sound, simply note hearing, hearing, hearing. It's a hearing process. The engines, pistons, metals rub each other. And then, because of that friction, there's a sound produced. That sound travels through the airwave. If there's no big wall or mountain shielding in between, it will travel through the open space and hit your eardrum. If you have a good eardrum, at that moment you heard a sound. That is it. Nothing more, nothing less. That is the hearing process. The rest is its aura. Lobha or dosa, craving, desire or aversion, dissatisfaction. Based on that, it's all the projections and the blame game starts. And the grasping game starts. But if you know the hearing process as it is, and know exactly this is only hearing, 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 the sound disappear, your awareness on the sound disappear, and you don't get into this mental defilement zone where there is no mindfulness. Your mindfulness totally guard you not to fall into that pits, the two pits. That's how you do hearing, hearing. The same thing, even though you close your eyes, in your mind eye, you see colors, patterns, or some people even pictures. And when you see that, seeing, seeing, you see lights, seeing, seeing. Don't go into interpretation. Don't add on adjectives. Simply, it's a seeing process. Mental objects arises with the mental eye, come in contact, and seeing process happen. In the everyday too, with your eye retina and the light and the object that is in front, all these three together with attention. You have to have attention. Without attention, you don't see. You are looking at it, you don't see. There might be times you have experienced many times. You are staring at something, but you are not seeing anything because your attention is not on that object. Your attention is somewhere. So attention, when all these things are met, eyes, objects, light, and attention. When these four conditions are met, seeing happen. And at that moment, know as this is a seeing process. It's an operation. You label it seeing, seeing. Now, hearing, seeing. With the nose, the same thing, smelling, smelling. With the tongue, tasting, tasting. With the body, mostly skins, touching, touching. Five senses. Whatever, whenever these senses are happening, labeled it accordingly. Seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. And if you can be precisely on a dime at that precise moment of arising of the sound or the sight or the smell, you are 100% in the mindfulness zone. But if you drifted into the pits of the craving and desire and the pits of aversion and dissatisfaction, you are out of the mindfulness zone. And our job is to be mindful all the time, every moment, moment to moment to moment. So these kind of things, we'll call it Dhamma Nupassana, mindfulness of Dhamma. And that covers how to do sitting meditation. If your physical process are most prominent at that moment, observe the physical process, rising or falling or sitting or touching or lifting or pushing or bending or stretching, whatever. Mindfulness of the body, thoughts and emotions, mindfulness of your consciousness, citta nupassana. Citta is the consciousness. Nupassana is the observation or mindful. And pleasant and unpleasant sensations, vedana nupassana, mindfulness of the feeling. And all the five senses, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, mindfulness of Dhamma. That covers everything what is happening to us at all time. There's nothing more, nothing less than that what is happening to us, but we perceive in a different way with lots of concepts, emotions, and we spin endlessly. That spinning endlessly is called samsara, going round and round and round, never ending. And what we are doing is we are stopping that samsara going round on a dime. Cut, 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 cut. With what? Mindfulness, with precision. At the present moment. Not before, not after. Not in the past, not in the future. Whatever is arising most distinctly and prominently at the present moment, in your field of attention, you engage with it and you observe it. And that's it. That is Satipatthana Vipassana, mindfulness insight meditation, taught by the Buddha. And this aspect covers the how to sit, how to practice sitting meditation and mindfulness insight meditation, Satipatthana Vipassana method. So may all of you be able to practice this Satipatthana Vipassana meditation precisely and correctly, and may you be able to uncover the true nature of mind and matter as soon as possible. Sadhu, 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 buddham bhujemi. Bow down. Dhammam bhujemi. Sangham bhujemi.